All right, let's talk about Raised by Wolves, Season 2, Episode 3, Good Creatures, in which Mother decides that, no, the serpent is not evil and doesn't need to be killed, and it's not just because it's her progeny, but also it seems like maybe the serpent doesn't really want to kill people and maybe didn't kill people, but I don't fully trust that the serpent is as benign as Mother says, and also other things happen.
Bryce, confess.
Man,
this is what it feels like to be an inquisitor.
Season one.
Bryce,
okay.
All are welcome. Just unburden your soul.
Does this track with the two of you? In that season one felt like a prestige sci-fi drama. And season two feels like a show from the sci-fi channel, maybe. It's a little goofy.
That's what you were trying to say when you said it's sci-fi-y. Okay, yeah.
And maybe I called it bad. I like...
No, you spelled it right. I just didn't catch on.
Oh, okay. I like it. I think that the season's been good so far, but we've hit a left turn last week, and everyone else adjusted to this left turn except for the viewer.
Tom, what do you think?
I felt the deja vu of the first season where we watched the first episode and we're like, oh my God, that was a movie. Mm-hmm. So much happened in that first episode. Those first two episodes that they gave us, I was like, I mentioned it last week. I just kept watching because I was drawn along. And this episode felt like we were spinning our wheels in place a little more. And I remembered, yes. But I did feel that at a similar point in season one.
Mm.
That's interesting. But here's something I never lost in season one, was a sense that I was always slightly out of my depth. It was such a challenge, like a good sci-fi novel where it's like, hey, eyes on me. If you stop paying attention, none of this will make sense. I don't have a better phrase, but
they're holding our hand a lot.
The world is a little smaller.
The series is being dumbed down, and I don't know if it's because
I just watched
the Book
down.
Of Boba
I think
Fett.
Dumbed down implies that it's not sophisticated, and it's right. Still sophisticated. It's just that the world is small. Last season, the world was infinite. We didn't know where they came from. We didn't know what planet they were on. We didn't know what the threats were. We didn't know who the atheists were. We didn't know who the Mithraists were. And you had to pay attention. Not only do you already know a lot of that stuff, which always happens in a second season, but they also shrunk the world to a base.
They also have effectively trained us that you needn't really worry about anybody dying because they can always come back. You needn't worry about what team they're on.
Including
the good or bad,
including the kids who like is the very first part of the show is you watch all of them die, but definitely one of them is still around as a ghost.
Bother me at all?
No,
that people can die or stay dead or whatever. To me, it's that. Well, I've already know the landscape. There's not a weird thing out in the forest I'm going to discover. There's not a question of which plants are edible. All the plants are edible. The water is volcano. The water's lava. Can't touch the water. But you know what? We're going to forget about that for this episode. And we're just going to have the serpent be a danger. Nah, wait, the serpent's not really a danger. Or is it? And now we've got three places. We've got the base. We've got the wilderness. Between the base. And we got the place where the Mithraeus are. It's a very small world.
Well, no, and we also have magically Barter Town that I'm certain you could point to some line of dialogue. But then they just take a left turn at Barter Town. It's like, why do we have a 7-minute short movie that's Mad Max for no reason? And a kid who says, I hate you, Android Dad. I hate you and I'll never trust you.
That actually widened the world, though. It was like, oh, so the base doesn't control everything. So the trust isn't, or at least is allowing this to flourish. I was like, at least there's something else going on, which implies that not everybody's under constant control. That widened the world a little bit for me. And I felt like that was perfectly motivated. And until the chainsaw guy came out, I was with it.
I mean, here's my fear going forward.
Also, I like the father one. That was pretty
exciting. I mean, first of all, look, I will not fault any of the production values. It's extraordinary. It's visual. They know how to tell a story. It is a treat. But I think if I could summarize, tell me if this lands with you, Bryce. I think our shared frustration is I had been budgeting 100% of my attention to every second of this show because I felt like if I didn't, I was going to be screwed and adrift. I no longer feel that way. Yeah. I feel like whatever it is today, it's going to be something different tomorrow. And if I'm ever confused, they'll immediately show me the current alignment of everything.
I'm not even too upset about I don't know, a misappropriation of my attention or my emotions for it, but it just I look at the first season and I look at all of the questions that it opens and the ones that it chooses to close and how it chooses to answer them, and I just feel like for lack of confidence, season two of this show is really intent on having an answer or having some amount of resolution. And it's not, I'm not here to say that answers are worse than questions, because questions have a lot of value when it comes to serial television storytelling, but it just felt like a lot of things got nullified from season one, especially a lot of really good contextual things. Like talking about the environment and the state of civilization. It's just a throwaway line in one of these episodes. Like, oh yeah, it would have been great if we actually had the war, but we didn't have the war. As if that explains why there was actually an entire seemingly self-sustaining colony on this planet that no one else knew about. I mean, the 30 people who live there had to know about it. It's very that I don't know. I'm having a weird time figuring out how it wants to tell me what the story is and also the story it's deciding to tell me.
I think I don't mind handholding. In fact, it could use a little more handholding. Explain, like, point it, since you're like, wait, there were 30 people here and nobody noticed. Well, it's a huge fucking planet, right? And you've got it's hard to scan things. Like, you could make that more explicit. Like, well, and the reason that the scanners never found us were X, Y, and Z. You can work that in someplace. Those would be good. It's like they're handholding us in the wrong places. They're handholding us like, yeah. No, I know. You don't have to keep reminding me about that. I got how that works. And the mysteries are very subtle. We didn't even talk last time about father's rejuvenation of
his side project of archaeology turned into botany.
Very bad idea, and is going to turn bad. And I like that it's subtle. I like that it's just kind of, I'm like, oh, there's where the wild card can come in. That can be the surprise.
Yeah.
But it's so subtle at this point that we almost forget that it's even happening. And the only other mystery we've really got is the serpent and the nature of the serpent and whether it's really part of Mother and loyal to Mother or not.
Which
keep talking about, like, I feel like there's another signal out there. It's like, okay, obviously talking to the serpent, but is it coming from the serpent or whatever?
And they keep doing that thing with the Mithraic guy. You know, he's got
Marcus.
He's got a bunch of crap on his face now.
I've totally forgotten from season one how he was bestowed with awesome flowy juice on his face.
I remember he got beat up. And maybe I thought
that's what I mean. Like, give me a reminder of that.
I've lost it. But the clue to the thing with Marcus is that a mysterious high pitch sound plays when his thing happens, and that's how you're supposed to know that's the story plot we're talking about, that connects all of these other things.
And that's where the Floyd
there's some kind of relation. Well,
it's tough because this has been a show that has said, we're going to have not annoying answers for these really weird mysteries. And okay, so is that a signal? What is this? Just tell me what the signal is.
Yeah,
I'm not that dumb.
It also seems like I understand once you resolve a conflict, you have to set up another one. Maybe for one episode, let us feel like we're safe, and then maybe wait 15 more minutes before you say, but its mother is even worse. Like, you don't have to reset us back. Like, that's the kind of move you do when you're making a movie that is, or a television procedural that, like, this was the first episode that I felt like my mom could just drop right in, enjoy, and never watch any more of, and say, yeah, I watch that show, I get it. And that in no way bore a resemblance to the pilot episode that I fell in love with. And I think that's the sci-fi vibe that you're talking about, Bryce.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't cast the show off.
It's gorgeous, beautiful, amazing.
I don't know. It felt so confident and very cool. And I think even with some of the visual storytelling, like they're in the tropical zone, and that's just a term, but it really looks grody, and it looks like one of those video studios for sure. It doesn't look big and sweeping the way South Africa usually did in season one. I don't know, but I guess we don't go back to those places.
All right, that's all I got. You got anything else on Raised by Wolves 203?
No, I think we'll just run in circles like a serpent chasing its own tail.
Or like a dog raising its kids by chasing its tail.
A Kerberos. Well, that is it for Spoiler and Type. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. The Spoiler and Time has reached a nexus. We now no longer have the Book of Boba Fett. And next week, we'll cover the entire first season of Peacemaker from HBO Max. We'll also talk about, of course, Righteous Gemstones, episode 8 of season 2, and Raised by Wolves, episode 4. You can support us on patreon.com/cordkillers. Get the episodes early. Get them broken up into bite-sized chunks based on the shows we're talking about. So go become a patron right now if you're not already. And thanks to those who are at patreon.com/cordkillers. We'll spoil you next time.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.